Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, March the 29th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington, our marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, President Robert Mugabe has proclaimed June 10th as the date for by-elections to fill 14 National Assembly vacancies. MDCT President Morgan Tsvangirai says his party will continue to press for electoral reforms before going into national and by-elections.
Surely it is not an over-demand to say that the electoral reforms are necessary. We need the voters' roll. We need to make sure that the electoral playing field is level.
Women rights activists welcome the 8 months sentence handed down to two Kombi touts who stripped a young girl at 4th Street bus terminus late last year.
We are pleased that our country and our government is stepping up in terms of promoting and protecting the rights of women in Zimbabwe.
And teachers living with disabilities welcome the delivery of 60 Braille monetary policy statements to the PTUZ from the Reserve Bank governor.
It shows that the governor is progressive. The governor also listens. The governor is actually geared, you know, to make sure that his information is received by all citizens.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum from Tatenda Gumbo. President Robert Mugabe has proclaimed June 10th as the date for by-elections to fill 14 National Assembly vacancies. The seats were left vacant by MDC renewal lawmakers dismissed by the main MDCT and some expelled ZANU-PF law members. The MDCT President Morgan Tsvangirai says his party will continue to press for electoral reforms before going into national and by-elections. Tsvangirai was in the United States last week for discussions with State Department officials. Tsvangirai also took the time to set the record straight on his relationship with his wife, which has come under the spotlight by rival ZANU-PF party.
Those conditions for which those elections will be conducted must be free and fair. Surely it is not an over-demand to say that the electoral reforms are necessary. We need the voters' roll. We need to make sure that the electoral playing field is level. We don't want to be in a position in which we will be accused of flip-flopping. We are very clear about what the option and the route towards power is. It is an election. People should not get themselves excited and over-focus on this by-election. That is no transfer of power. We want the overall strategy as the goal of achieving change. 21 MPs will not cause any change. We are a minority party, you see. So it's a strategic choice that we must discuss.
And also, right now, you know, the whole country is focusing on the disappearance of Itai Dzamara. And you just shared that you disappeared for a couple of weeks. What was that experience like for you? And then also comment on the disappearance of Dzamara.
For me, the fact that you can go a day without your family knowing where you are is very traumatic. I remember the first time I was then called to the police station to meet my wife. We couldn't actually recognize each other because we're all traumatized. We're almost like... So I know the feeling. I know the impact in their family and I know the impact to the whole nation. No one should disappear in a country which is supposed to be civilized. It is barbaric, it is obnoxious, and the sooner the police or the state has the responsibility of delivering Itai alive or dead. At least it's better to have some finality, but hopefully alive.
And have you been engaging in trying to find out where Itai Dzamara is as a party?
We are doing everything in our power to make sure that he is produced. We are doing everything to find out what exactly has happened. I'm in contact with his brother. This blank about where he is, it's very, very traumatic for everyone.
And also, just to round off, I'm going to go a little personal on this one. We've had so many stories coming out about your marriage, your wife. What is the real story? What is going on?
Well, the question is that if you want to pick up any propaganda, you will pick up any propaganda. You know that after my late wife, I remarried, and I've lived with my wife. But what the opposition press would like to pick at is a situation where Tsvangirai is fighting with his wife. I have no capacity to fight with anyone. And it actually came as a surprise to write about those kind of personal issues. Because at the end of the day, Tsvangirai is not the cause of the crisis in the country. So it cannot be the focus. Of course, as leaders, we need to show by example. But the question which is there is that when you go to such an extent to destroy somebody's credibility and integrity just for political ends, as if that person is the one who has caused the current crisis, I think it's unfair.
That was MDCT President Morgan Tsvangirai.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Women rights activists welcome the 8 months sentence handed down to two Kombi touts who stripped a young lady at 4th Street bus terminus late last year. Beatrice Savage of Real Opportunities for Transformation Support Roots says this ruling is a step in the right direction. Marvelous Kandemiri and Blessing Chinoda Kufa were sentenced to 1 year in prison before Magistrate Renika Dzikiti suspended 4 months on condition of good behavior. Dzikiti said the convict's conduct was barbaric, leading to the traumatization of the complainant. Chinoda Kufa and Kandemiri were arrested after a leaked video footage capturing the drama went viral on social media networks. We spoke to Beatrice Savage of Roots on the issue.
As an organization, we're very pleased with the sentencing of the two towns who stripped the girl naked. And we are pleased that our country and our government is stepping up in terms of promoting and protecting the rights of women in Zimbabwe. We would have preferred a very stiffer penalty to deter would-be perpetrators, but I think it's a step already in the right direction that these two guys were found and were given a sentence for what they did. And I think it sends a strong message to men out there in the country to say that they need to respect the rights of women and to stop sexual violence towards women and the war that they are waging on women's bodies.
But we have also seen the onset of violence by women against other women on social media. For example, there's been a video going around of a woman who was abused by other women for having had an adulterous affair with a married man. What's your comment on that?
The law should be justly applied to all human beings, whether they are females or males. So in that case, as an organization, we really want those women to be brought to book for what they do.
Because violence is just violence. It doesn't matter who has perpetrated it. And if we attack men and not appreciate also the wrongs that women are also doing or the violence that is also being perpetrated by other women, it will not be fair. And I don't think it's a progressive move. So as Roots, we're also making sure that those women are brought to book. And also that woman who was victimized also get to get some counseling and psychosocial support because what she went through is very regrettable.
Are you making any efforts as Roots to contact the alleged victim? And also, what's your message to people that are actually carrying on circulating this video, either on WhatsApp or Facebook or other social platforms?
As Roots, we're actually making efforts on the ground to make sure that we reach out to the woman who was violated. And I think our message is that by the more we keep sharing that video, we are actually dehumanizing and continuing the violation of the woman who was attacked in the video. So it's an appeal to all members of the community to just, you know, stop sharing the video. But as begin to have conversation within our homes, within our communities, within our workplaces about what role we can play as individuals, as a community in ending violence in Zimbabwe, because we have seen an escalation of
different forms of violence against women and also against men. So it's something that is a cause for concern, and we should be, as a community, getting into a position where we begin to dialogue about it and find out the causes, why we are having a lot of violence happening in our communities and what can be done. And also to look at the role that the government has to play in terms of making sure that there is employment, because I want to believe, especially with the case of the young girl who was stripped by the touts, but also that idleness, that people are just roaming around the streets, they are not doing anything. They are angry about the situation that's happening in our country right now, and they're just using any means to vent out that anger, to vent out that frustration, and sometimes doing it through perpetrating violence on women. It's something that should be looked at, that bigger picture, to address issues of the economy in Zimbabwe.
That was Beatrice Savage of Roots in Zimbabwe, Harare.
Direct from Washington, the Voice of America, VOA.
Teachers living with disabilities welcome the delivery of 60 Braille monetary policy statements to the PTUZ from the Reserve Bank Governor Mangunjga. Mr. Abiot Moyo, the PTUZ Secretary for Teachers with Disabilities, made a special request to Governor Mangunjga during a meeting February. Moyo tells us more.
We were happy and very grateful to the governor for fulfilling his promise. You know, what happens in most cases is that visually impaired people are looked down on. You know, they are not even considered when it comes to the dissemination of information. Now, when we look at the step taken by the Reserve Bank governor, we are actually happy, and it's a step which shows, you know, movement. Because when we look at the history of the Reserve Bank, I think this is the first time that something in Braille has been produced. And it shows that the governor is progressive. The governor also listens. The governor is actually geared, you know, to make sure that his information is received by all citizens.
How many of the monetary policy statements were actually issued to you?
About 60 copies were produced, and these copies were taken by us, the Progressive Teachers Union, you know, for distribution to our members and some the universities, and also to any other center where we think this will be accessed by people with visual impairment. But as for our members, we actually mail these to the provincial offices where they will be distributed.
How important is it for your Association for Teachers with Disabilities to have such statements written in Braille?
What's important is that knowledge is power. You know, having knowledge, especially for a teacher should be knowledgeable. You know, a teacher should be up to date. Not even being a teacher, as an individual, one should be aware of what's happening in the country. Now, when you look at documents such as the monetary policy, it's very important, you know, for one to realize that it touches every member of the society. And one should be aware of the changes, the intentions, how one might be affected. So it's very important. Knowledge is power.
And moving forward, for those who actually want to access some of these policy statements in Braille, where can they reach you?
They can actually contact Progressive Teachers Union in the provinces, wherever one is. We do have offices, so they can actually talk to the members and to the officers there, and these documents will be provided.
That was the PTUZ Secretary for Teachers with Disabilities, Abiot Moyo, in Harare. You're listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 12080, and 15775 shortwave frequencies. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to The Youth Firm, your firm focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by human rights lawyer and advocate Nyaradzai Gumbojanda to talk about the alarming rate of child marriages that Zimbabwe is facing. Let's start off by discussing how a child finds themselves in a marriage.
First is simply the issue of girls not having full access to education and dropping out of school, and therefore looking at child marriage as an option out of poverty. Secondly, is the whole issue of culture and traditions and the whole unacceptable situation that we still find people who abuse our girls running behind culture to justify. It's also about faith communities like the apostolic, some of the apostolic sects who still believe that it's okay to marry an underage child.
Some would argue that this is a marriage, but what are the consequences for young girls becoming married at such an early age?
In terms of what happens to girls when they are married underage, first is about their health, their simple health and well-being. When girls get married, they are at risk of acquiring sexually transmitted infections, including HIV. They are unable to negotiate safe and protected sex. Usually they are married to men who are older than them, who have had many other sexual encounters or relationships before, but these young girls are unable to negotiate protection, including condoms. They are not able to maybe ask their partners for a health check. The second is maternal mortality. When girls get married, their bodies are not yet ready for them to be able to carry a child for 9 months pregnancy. And we find that there are so many pregnancy-related complications around teenage girls and very high level of maternal mortality. The third consequences, and which is very high for us, is that it's about poverty. When girls get into marriage, they're actually digging deep into poverty.
What is your message to those young girls who might find themselves in this position and unsure what their rights are and how they can find assistance?
We need to continue to encourage the girls and the young women and the women who have been in such marriages to speak out, to find the legal protection that is necessary, because their voice matters. So it's important that the Constitution of Zimbabwe is upheld in protecting the rights of women and girls and making sure that the age of majority is respected and the age of marriage is in line with the international treaties.
And looking at those laws, are they adequate enough, or is it a question of implementation?
It's not enough to have laws in the books if they are not implemented. The major challenge that we have on prosecution is how they do not have another social protection mechanism. So if they go to court and report a marriage which involves their parents or their uncles or their caregivers, it's where do they go after they've reported the case? This is, for us, what has been the major issue around the justice system. Because when they have to take that man to court, they're also taking their parents or whoever has given the consent to that marriage to court. So we need to have stronger protection mechanisms and systems within our communities. But ultimately, we cannot shy away from the issues of prosecution.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
That was human rights lawyer and advocate Nyaradzai Gumbojanda joining me today on The Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next time.
This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. President Robert Mugabe has proclaimed June 10th as the date for by-elections to fill 14 National Assembly vacancies. The seats were left vacant by MDC renewal lawmakers dismissed by MDCT and some expelled ZANU-PF lawmakers. The MDCT president, Morgan Tsvangirai, says his party will continue to press for electoral reforms before going into national and by-elections. And the MDCT did not participate in by-elections held last Friday. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, March 29th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.